And I repeat, the emphasis is on human responsibility. Now, in the first parable, the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, in verses 3 through 8, Jesus warns against sinister opposition to his plan throughout this age. Now, let me read the parable. I want to ask you to interpret it for me, since we've been through it at least once together. Verse 3, "And he spake many things unto them in parables." You see, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. "Saying, Behold," now I discovered something this last week, after 12 solid weeks of living day and night in these parables I had not seen before. Instead of a sower, there is a definite article. I got my Greek New Testament and looked it up because I was suspicious something was wrong there. It is the sower. All right, then, who is the sower? Tell me. All right, Christ is the sower. The sower. Now, that means he came to be king, but he is now reduced to the office of servant because somebody mishandled his kingship, the Jews, and he is now turned away from them for this time, for the age of the kingdom of heaven, to be a servant. So he is a sower. And it says, "The sower went out," or went forth. Now, here's a picture of his Israel having rejected him. He turns away from them. Israel is pictured in the Old Testament as a vineyard. But Jesus goes out now to sow in the field, outside the vineyard. And the field represents all the multitudes of the people of the world. "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds..." Now, what does the seed stand for? Say it out loud. The Word of God. "Some seeds fell by the wayside." Now, what does the wayside stand for? The hard heart of the natural man upon which the seed falls, and it does not penetrate and enter. He rejects it and goes his way thinking everything is all right and steps right smack into the middle of hell. "Some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls..." Now, who do the fowls stand for? The agents of Satan. Satan and his demonic powers. "And the fowls came and devoured up those seeds. Some fell upon stony places." Now, what does the stony place stand for? The shallow heart. The shallow heart. It's the picture of a thin, look at me just a moment, the picture of a thin little layer of topsoil. And if you look at it, you think it's deep, but you drop a seed and the plant quickly springs up by its own power, not because it has any depth of earth, but because it has a germ of life in itself, and then it runs into a heavy layer of hard rock underneath that thin layer of topsoil, and there's no root that can go down. The sun comes up and blasts that plant, and down it goes. Now, this is the picture of the shallow heart that has a little veneer of positive response to Christ. But when the seed is planted and starts to germinate, it instantly runs into one thing under the surface: the hard, Adamic, unchanged, natural heart of lost, unregenerate man. And the seed quickly shows its own life, but there is no depth of soil or earth inside that which it is planted in. There is only a hard, hard subsurface, and it quickly dies. Now, this is the person who, when he hears the gospel, walks down a church aisle, makes a religious decision, is baptized, and he says, "I made a change," or "I joined the church," or "I was baptized when," or "I made a decision under this brush arbor," or "I did this or that," whenever all this happened, and all of it is religious. And that person is just as lost can be. He is described in the epistles of Paul as having that surface form of godliness, but his life is a total denial of the power thereof. He never reveals Jesus Christ to anybody because Christ is not in him. He is lost and lost and lost and lost and lost. And that's by far the greater majority of people who make up church membership in this age. Baptist, this church, Methodist, Episcopalian, Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox Catholic, by far and away, all of them, most of them, are like that right there. That's the second kind, the stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no earth, they withered away. And then he said, "Some fell among thorns." Now the thorns represent all the distractions of life The word springs up, but the thorns choke the word, and the thorns sprung up and choked the seed, but some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And Jesus said, he who has ears, capacity to hear, opportunity, let him hear. Responsibility. Be careful. Be awfully careful how you hear. Now, what are the sinister opponents to the plan of God? The first one mentioned here is Satan. The birds come along and pick up the seed and devour. The second one mentioned here is the flesh. Now, you never find the flesh on finer display than you do here. It looks so religious. It just springs up and says, boy, dig me. I'm in. Talk about Jesus. I'm in. There's that shallow, superficial but spontaneous response to a good-sounding message. And when any trial comes, the person leaves just as quickly as he came because he has no depth of earth. That's a flesh response to Christ, and it covers a totally unchanged, unregenerate, unsaved heart. And the third enemy is the world, represented by the thorns that constantly are growing up there to choke the word so that it will become unfruitful. So he warns us against sinister opposition to the plan of God in the first parable. And that is throughout this age. And the second parable, he warns us against satanic imitation of the people of God, a counterfeit Christians, what we would call hypocrites. Look down in the text to verses 24 through 30. Verses 24 through 30. And I want to ask you to interpret for me again, beginning with verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man. Now, who is the man? Jesus, who sowed good seed. What is the seed? It's the word of God now taking root in the hearts of believing people. He sowed good seed in his field. What is the field? Say it out loud. It's the world. Don't be so hesitant, you know. Say it out loud. But while men slept, his enemy, now who is his enemy? Satan, came and sowed tares. Now who are the tares? They are counterfeit Christians. They look like Christians, but they do not have the reality in their hearts. They make all the decisions, go through all the motions, but they do not honor Jesus Christ as Lord inside their lives. His enemy came and sowed tares in between the wheat, or among the wheat. That means all over the world, wherever you find genuine Christians, you're going to find tares intermingled with them. That's the work of the devil in this age. And then this man went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder, those are Christians, came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then came the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Now listen carefully to his answer. No, lest while you are pulling up the tares, you root up the wheat that is intertwined with the tares in its root system. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now this is the second warning. He warns against counterfeit Christians. He says, be alert. You see, the reason this is important is because if you don't know that, you'll wonder what it all means. What about hypocrites in the church? Why are there so many people who say it and don't walk it? Who talk it and don't walk it? They never live it. You never see any sign of Jesus in them. What about all of them? And there are people who say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. There are so many hypocrites in the church. Jesus said, certainly. Because with this kind of invitation, calling out to all men, you're going to get all kinds of responses. And he said, you must be aware of the fact that satanic imitation is going to come into the church and into the sphere of profession worldwide. And you're going to have multiplied thousands of counterfeit Christians who are hypocrites throughout this age, and especially as it rolls toward a close. And then it's going to get harder and harder to be hypocrites. There's going to be a division even inside the church. All right, the third parable. In the third parable, he warns against sensational expansion of the professing church of God. This is the parable of the mustard seed, verses 31 and 32. Now, I wish I did not have to deal with these next two, but I must, because I'm going to sound a bit unkind in all probability. And I have prayed about that you'll not take it wrongly. Verses 31 and 32, the parable.